All right, moving on to the next stage of our today's conference call, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are very fortunate to have Adi Gadadhar Prabhu with us here today. And Prabhuji is going to talk about Indra of cows defeats Indra of clouds. Prabhuji, are you there in the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Yes, Mataji, I am here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association this morning. I will let you take the call from here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय
आई बेग योर पार्डन नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्विसे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Wish you all a very, very happy Krishna conscious Annakoot festival, Govardhan Puja, on this very, very auspicious tithi of Govardhan Puja today in the holy month of Kartik. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to all of you for joining this conference call. I am very grateful to be amongst all of you again. And I beg at your lotus feet to please shower your blessings upon me so that for the next exactly 1 hour we can glorify Giriraj Sri Govardhan in such a way that our hearts become purified and our words are pleasing to Sri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, whatever we are going to speak today It is based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, and the commentaries of our various acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sridhar Swami. So, we all know that in the 10th chapter of, in the 10th canto of Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a chapter entitled Krishna Delivers the Wives of the Brahmins. In this chapter, in an area of Vraja Dham, Vraja Mandal, in a small village, there lived many Brahmins. And these Brahmins were yagyic Brahmins. They were very much expert in performing yajnas. And they were quite ritualistic. Instead of being truly spiritual, they were engrossed in ritual. So when you add the spirit of Krishna consciousness, the ritual becomes spiritual. So they were very ritualistic and they were performing yajna for various purposes. And we all know the story. Krishna and Balram and their friends went and they asked for some prasad, but they were refused. But then the wives of these yajnic Brahmins, they gave up all social consideration and at great personal risk, they came and offered wonderful prasad to Krishna and Balram and their friends. So the wives of these Brahmins became perfect. They became pure devotees. They attained perfection of their life. But the husbands realized their mistake. The Brahmins realized their mistake. But they were afraid of Kamsa. So they did not have the courage like their wives to go and surrender to Krishna and Balaram. But they realized their mistake and they had a desire to surrender to Krishna. So our acharyas explain that after this, can everybody please mute your phones so that there is no background music, background noise. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So somehow, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai and all the Brajavasis, they came temporarily to this village of the yajnic Brahmins because they wanted to perform Indra Puja, Indra Yajna, like they would perform every year. But how to perform this puja? They needed some Brahmins to perform the puja. So they came to the village of these yajnic Brahmins who were very expert in performing yajnas. So just see Krishna's mercy. Krishna gave his mercy to the Brahmins' wives. But the yajnic Brahmins themselves did not get mercy. So to deliver them and to give them his mercy, because their wives were such pure devotees, Krishna temporarily moved with Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai and all the Brajavasis, all the Gopas, all the Gopis, they moved everything to this village of the yajnic Brahmins so that the yajna for Indra Puja could be performed by them. So the next chapter, after the chapter dealing with the deliverance of the wives of the Brahmins, is the chapter called Govardhan Puja. So now all the Brajvasis have moved to the village of the yajnic Brahmins and Nanda Maharaj is supervising all the preparations for Indra Puja. And this Indra Puja yajna is going to be performed by the yajnic Brahmins. So the Brahmins, just with the power of their mantra, they are creating sacrificial fires. They are chanting mantras from the Vedas for purification and to create the right atmosphere
for Indra Puja. All the Brajavasis, the Gopas and the Gopis, they are collecting heaps and heaps of rice, which is going to be cooked. They are taking heaps and heaps of wheat, and they are going to grind it into fine powder, atta, so that puris and chapatis, rotis can be made. They have grown so many fresh vegetables, which are going to be cooked in ghee with different spices. They have gallons and gallons of milk, buttermilk, butter, ghee for cooking. They have sugar to make sweets. They have heaps and heaps of chickpea, chola, chana, which also they are going to grind and make different foodstuffs from that. So you can just imagine the scene. All the Brajavasis, the men are busy getting all the ingredients and handing them over to their wives, and the gopis are busy cooking preparations for Indra Puja. There are heaps and heaps of fresh fruits that have been plucked for Indra Puja. So everybody is very, very, very busy. No one has time for Krishna. Everybody is busy. Everybody is running around doing so many things, making preparations, bringing ingredients, cooking, chopping, this, that, running around. Everybody is very busy, and Nanda Maharaj is supervising. He is walking around everywhere, making sure there is enough milk, there is enough ghee. He sends some gopas, go into the forest, get some dried sticks. Some dried sticks that have fallen from the trees, get the sticks so that we can have enough wood for the sacrifice, yajna, fire. So like this, Nanda Maharaj is delegating work, and he's getting things done, he's supervising. No time. So Amavasya was the night of Deepavali. And then the new moon, so they celebrated Deepavali, the advent of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanumanji, all the Vanar Sena back into Ayodhya after 14 years of Vanvas. That was Amavasya. The Brajavasis celebrated that, Diwali. And also it was the day where a few years ago Damodar Leela had taken place in Vrindavan. So Brajavasis had a nice celebration on Diwali, Amavasya day. And then the next day is Indra Puja, or at least supposed to be Indra Puja. We'll see what happens. So all this preparation is going on, and Krishna, he knows everything. He knows everything what is going on, and he realizes that my devotee, who has been put in the position of Indra, has become very proud. He is accepting worship from those people who I worship. I'll repeat, Krishna thinks that my devotee who has been given the post of Indra, means Indra Dev, has become so puffed up, so proud, that he is accepting worship from Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamai, all the Brajavasis. He's accepting worship from all the Brajavasis who are worshipped by me. So Indra should know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I am Bhakta Paradhin. I am completely surrendered to my devotees. So I worship these Brajavasis who are my topmost devotees, and Indra is so proud, so arrogant, so insensitive, so inconsiderate, so audacious, that Indra is accepting worship from these Brajavasis who are even worshipped by me. His pride has grown into a huge mountain. Therefore, I will use the king of all mountains, who is my dear devotee, Govardhan, to destroy the mountain of Indra's pride. I will use one mountain to destroy another mountain. Indra's pride is like a mountain and my Giriraj is a mountain. I will use this mountain to destroy the mountain of Indra's pride. Thinking like this, Krishna goes to Nanda Baba and he pulls on Nanda Maharaja's dhoti. Krishna is 7 years old. He pulls on Nanda Maharaja's dhoti and he tells, Baba, Baba, what is going on? Why is everyone so busy? Can you please tell me? So Nanda Maharaj, he is in a hurry. He is very busy. He is in such a hurry that he has no time for Hari. He has no time for Shri Hari. So he tells Krishna that, Kanha, we are having a very big event. We are having this Indra Puja. So I am little busy, but I can explain to you later. But Krishna persists. He says, no, Baba. Baba, please listen to me. Listen to what I am saying. You have to tell me what is happening. Everyone is looking so big. You are saying there is a big event about to take place. But you have to tell me what this is. What puja is this? What yajna is this? Who is it meant for? Who is going to be pleased by this yajna? What items are you using? What is the benefit of performing this yajna? Who is this big devata that you are performing the yajna for? Is this big devata going to eat so much? Can you tell me? I need to understand all the details. And Nanda Maharaj looked surprised at Krishna that this little 7-year-old boy is so inquisitive, asking, he's shooting so many questions at me. And he looks around. And all the assistants of Nanda Maharaj, all the elder Gopas, they are also watching with a smile on their face. They look at this. Kanha is asking so many cute, sweet questions. So thinking that Nanda Maharaj is still silent, Krishna says that, Baba, see, you are such a great soul, you are such a sadhu. You should never keep secrets from your loved ones. And I am your own son. You have to explain all this to me. Because who knows, in the future, I may have to perform this yajna when I grow up. So I must understand. See, some people do things without understanding what they are doing. Some people do things with proper understanding of what they are doing. People who do things with proper understanding, they get the proper result. But people who do things without proper understanding of what they are doing, don't get the right result. So if you want me to participate in this big event, then you have to answer my questions. Please, don't be afraid. Come on, speak up. Tell me. Krishna spoke so maturely, so wisely, and he sat down next to Nanda Baba on an asana. And he looked at Nanda Maharaj very lovingly and said, please, tell me. I really want to understand. Is this yajna that you are performing mentioned in the Vedas, or you are doing it simply because other people are doing it? Tell me. So many questions Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj smiled at his son. Oh, Lala has become so inquisitive. He has grown up. He's talking so maturely. Just look. He's telling all the Gopas. Just look at this Kanhal. He has become so, so big. So Lala, let me explain to you. This big ceremony that is about to take place, this is actually a very popular custom among us Gopas. It is a very, very important part of the culture of cowherd life. We are cowherd men and cowherd women. For cowherd people, this is a very important part of our custom. It has been passed down generation after generation, and therefore we consider it to be Vedic. In our family, Lala, this Indra Puja has been performed for many, many generations, not years, generations. And why we perform it? Because we experience great prosperity by performing this Indra Puja. We get freedom from all disturbances. Lala, let me tell you, who is this Indra Dev? You know, up in the Swarga, in the heavenly planets, powerful, powerful devatas live. And this Indra is not any ordinary devata. He is the Devendra. He is the king of the devatas. Not only that, you know how it rains through the clouds? all these rains that come in the clouds. You know how that big demon had come, Trinavart, big cloud, rain cloud, thunder, tornado. All these clouds are servants of Indra. He controls the rain, he controls the clouds, he controls the thunder and lightning. He's so powerful. And it is Indra who sends the clouds which give us the rain. Now see, Lala, if we don't get rain, how will the grass grow? If the grass doesn't grow, what will our cows eat? And if our cows don't have anything to eat, how will our cows survive? And without our cows, my dear Lala, how will we, cowherd men and women, survive? So you see the connection, my dear boy? It is rains sent by Indradev that are sustaining us. Without rains, it is impossible for us to survive. Therefore, what we have been doing over generations and generations is, whatever we are getting by the mercy of Indradev, the big devta, Indradev, whatever we are getting by his mercy, we are giving it back to him. By his mercy, our cows are living. Cows give us milk. Cows give us ghee. Cows give us yogurt. Rains give us crops. So, all the produce of our crops, the fruits and vegetables, the grains, rice, wheat, all the produce from our cows like milk and yogurt and ghee and butter, we take all these ingredients which we are getting by the mercy of the big devata Indradev and we offer it back to Indradev in Indra Puja. That is what we are doing. Now all this requires lot of preparation, lot of planning, lot of hard work, lot of coordination. So please now give me some time, don't disturb me, I am very busy. After the ceremony, I will sit and answer any further questions that you may have. Oh, Baba, but wait, I'm not done. Answer one more question. Krishna tells his father, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj says, what is it now, Lala? And Krishna says, Baba, what will happen if someone does not perform this Indra Puja? What will happen? Tell me. Oh, then it is very bad. Because if this Indra Puja is not performed, then it will not rain. If there is no rain, there is no grass. No grass, what will our cows eat? What will we drink? Nobody can survive without performing this Yajna. So, we have to very carefully observe this Indra Yajna beta. Now, after hearing this explanation from Nanda Maharaj, Krishna says, are you sure what you are saying is right, Baba? That if we don't do this Indra Yajna, then we will not get rain. So Nanda Maharaj says, yes, what I am telling you is truth. And hearing this detailed explanation from Nanda Maharaj, who gave such a nice reply to Krishna, all the surrounding Gopas, they also start nodding their head and smiling. They say, yes, Nanda Maharaj, you have spoken very well. What you are saying is correct. Krishna, what your father is saying is correct. Now when Krishna heard this, externally he smiled, but in his heart, Krishna was very displeased. That look at Indra, all these Bhradwajas are so dear to me and this Indra is accepting worship from them. He has become so proud. So then Krishna says, I have to give some faulty logic so that Indra's pride is destroyed and my beloved Bhradwajas don't associate with Indra, don't worship Indra. Why should they worship Indra? After all, from me comes Vishnu. From Vishnu on the lotus comes Brahmaji. From Brahmaji comes Shivji and everybody and Indra. And so this Indra is so insignificant compared to me. But still the people who are my life and soul, they are giving their life and soul to this proud Indra. I have to stop this. I have to break this mountain of pride which has grown in Indra's heart. So Krishna says, I have to give some false logic, some faulty arguments I have to give. So he says, now please everybody hear attentively to what I am saying, Krishna says. Whatever you are telling Nanda Baba is not right. You cannot justify it. Because see, I say that even higher than the devatas is karma. Law of karma is greater than devatas, greater than Indradev. Because If we don't work hard, then even Indra, even the devatas cannot give us the reward for our work. Is it not? If we don't work, then how will we grow vegetables and fruits and grains? How will we graze the cows? What will we eat? So, because we are performing hard work, that's why we are getting all these facilities. It has nothing to do with this Indra. Narada said, no. Arre, what are you saying, Krishna? This is apra, this is offensive. Don't talk like this. Why are you talking like this? Even if we do work, to give us the good or bad result of our work, we need devatas na beta. Why are you talking like this? What you are saying is wrong. There has to be a higher power which gives us the good and bad results for our action. So karma is not supreme. So devata is supreme. So Nanda Maharaj is arguing with Krishna. And Krishna says that, Baba, if you feel that indeed there is a master who is greater than karma, then can you tell me why he is giving rains to the mountains? Have the mountains performed Indra Puja? Why is Indra Dev giving rain in the ocean? Has the Samudra Dev also performed Indra Puja? The rocks and the plants and the trees in so many other forests where no Indra Puja is performed, does it not rain there? Besides, Baba, sometimes it rains too much and there is a disturbance, there is a flood. At other times, there is a drought, there is no rain. So isn't this Indra faulty? Isn't this Indra making mistake? Isn't this Indra, who you are calling a big devata, imperfect? So Baba, I think we should not worship Indra. By the way, have you ever seen this Indra, Baba? Have you ever seen him? Has he ever come and accepted your offerings? Have you ever seen him eat? Where does he live? So Nanda Maharaj is now getting a little confused. He says, Indra Dev, Lala, he lives in Indra Lok. It's like Swarg Lok, heavenly planets. Ah, Krishna says, so Indra is a big devata? Nanda Baba says, yes, Lala. He lives in Swarg Lok. Yes, Lala. Oh, so he's a big devata who lives in Swargalok. Then why is he begging from simple gopas like us? Doesn't he have food in Swargalok? Why does he need our rice? Why does he need our vraja rotis? Why does he need our fruits? Why does he need our butter? Why does he need our milk? Is he a beggar? So then Nanda Maharaj says, no, Lala, he's not a beggar, but he's inspiring us to do all this. Then Krishna says, Nanda Baba, I don't accept your logic. Because we all know that it is Rajogun, mode of passion, that makes the clouds, creation takes place under mode of passion. The clouds are created from the water in the ocean by the rays of the sun. Because of sun rays, the water from the ocean evaporates, it goes up by evaporation, forms clouds in the sky, and then it comes, the clouds get stopped by the mountains, which is Giriraj, and then the clouds precipitate and there is rainfall. Where is Indra in all this? Baba, Indra has nothing to do with all this. This is all mode of material nature, the nature is supreme. Indra has nothing to do with all this. So we should perform yajna from a devata who actually we can see and who will accept our offerings. So Nanda Maharaj says, okay, so who is this devata who will accept our offerings? So Krishna says that Giriraj, our Giriraj Baba. So just like Krishna calls Nanda Maharaj Nanda Baba, Krishna addresses Giriraj as Giriraj Baba. In father figure. He calls Giriraj also as a father figure, just like Nanda Maharaj. He says, just like you protect me, Giriraj Baba protects all of us. He is everyone's father. Therefore, we should worship Giriraj, we should worship our Brahmins, and we should worship our cows. This is what we should do. And this is what will make me happy. So Nanda Maharaj says, Lala, okay. If this Govardhan Puja is going to make you happy, we will do it. But we will do it as a second puja, second yajna. First, let us perform Indra Yajna, like we have been performing all these years. So Krishna says, no, Baba, please don't delay. No Indra Puja. Whatever paraphernalia you have collected for this so-called Indra Puja, which has no meaning, you use all those ingredients to worship our Giriraj. And Giriraj will take care of everything. You don't worry. And I'm telling you, he will take care of everything and you don't have to worry about anything. And if you do Indra Puja, I will be displeased. If you do Govardhan Puja, I will be very, very happy. So for my happiness, please do Govardhan Puja instead of Indra Puja, not both. Now Nanda Maharaj started looking towards all the Gopas who had now collected into a big crowd around Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. And our acharyas explain that it is the nature, just like it is the nature of water to be wet, it is the nature of the sun to be hot. Similarly, it is the nature of the Brajvasis to please Krishna. Hari Bol. So sweet. It is the nature of the Brajvasis to please Krishna. When Krishna repeatedly said that this Govardhan Puja will please me, they immediately, Nanda Maharaj immediately cancelled the Indra Puja which was going on for generations. And immediately he accepted the desire of Krishna as his life and soul. They all loved him so much. And they said, all right, Nanda Maharaj said, all right, Lala, we will do Govardhan Puja. But please tell us how to do this puja. We have never done it. Please tell us. Krishna very excitedly replied, okay, I will tell you. Now you see, Giriraj, there are so many peaks on top of Giriraj. These peaks are called Koot. Like if you read Gajendra Moksha pastime in Bhagavatam, it happened near a lake which was situated near a mountain called Trikuta, because that mountain had three peaks, Trikuta. I think peaks made of, one was made of gold, silver, iron, like that. So Trikuta. So Krishna says that just like Govardhan has so many kutas, so many peaks on top of him, we should make many, many peaks of offerings. So Anna Kuta. Kuta means mountain peaks and Anna means food. So therefore this festival is called Anna Kut. We make peaks, mountain peaks of offerings. So Krishna says, let us make heaps and heaps of nice white cooked rice. And let us put glistening yellow ghee made from the milk of cows on top of this rice. So the white rice heaps should look like Mount Kailash. And the golden ghee on top of it should appear as if somebody has poured molten gold on the white Mount Kailash. This is Krishna's description. And then Krishna says, similarly, let's make heaps of vegetables, heaps of chapatis, heaps of yogurt, pots and pots of milk, honey, ghee, and nice hot foodstuffs. Let's cook. And let us offer it to Giriraj. And after Giriraj has eaten, we will give the prasad to the Brahmins. We can take fresh green grass and we can feed it to our cows. And when the Brahmins and cows have completely satisfied themselves by eating prasad, we will give the remnants to all the people, including the outcast people, the tribal people, the dog eaters, and even the dogs. And when everyone has eaten up to their neck full, then all the ladies, all the gopis can decorate themselves very nicely with fancy ornaments, with fragrant oils, with beautiful jewelry, nice colorful saris. They should decorate themselves. And you, Baba, you should wear a big turban. And everyone should wear turbans. And we should all look like big, big devatas. And all the gopis can sit on bullock carts. And all the Brahmins can chant mantras from the Vedas. And all the musicians can play beautiful drums and musical instruments to accompany the chanting of the Vedic hymns. And while doing all this in a very happy mood, while singing the glories of Giriraj, we will do circumambulation of Govardhan Hill, all of us, accompanied by all the gopas, gopis, cows, bull, calves. We will all do Govardhan Parikrama. This is how I want the Annakut festival to be performed. So, what do you think, Baba? So, Nanda Maharaj says, wow, this sounds very, very fun. So, I'm so excited. If this is going to make you happy, Krishna, let us immediately do it. So, Nanda Maharaj says, let's have an emergency conference call near Mansi Ganga. Now, near Giriraj, there is a place called Mansi Ganga. So, Nanda Maharaj immediately conveys an emergency meeting with all the Prajavasi. See how sometimes we have emergency meetings? So, like that, Nanda Maharaj, she conveyed an emergency meeting. Let's all assemble at Mansi Ganga. So when all the Brajvasis, Gopas, Gopis, all the cows, they all came at Mansi Ganga, Nanda Maharaj very loudly announced that there is a change in plan. Today, instead of performing Indra Puja, we will perform Govardhan Puja. And the Nanda Maharaj very elaborately detailed, details he describes that this is how we are going to do, this is what we are going to do, like this, like this, like this. You know, he explains the whole procedure and all the Brajvasis are very excited. They're clapping their hands, they're jumping. Yes, yes, let's worship Govardhan, let's worship Govardhan. And exactly as Krishna had described, the the Govardhan Puja starts. And the Brajvasis, first they take lots of milk and water and they start bathing Giriraj. Then they offer him with proper mantras. They offer him mountains and mountains of bhoga, annakut. And when all this is going on, suddenly in Swargalok, Indradev develops ear pain. You know how children sometimes they get ear infection and they start saying that, oh, my ear is hurting. So similarly, suddenly Indradev was in, pink of health, perfect health, and suddenly he got ear pain. Both his ears started hurting. So, he didn't know why his ears were hurting so much. So, he called the physician, the doctors for the demigods, the twins, Ashwini Kumars. So, they came and they looked at Indradev, they examined him, and they gave their diagnosis. The Ashwini Kumars gave Indradev a diagnosis that your ears are hurting because of the loud glorification of Giriraj Govardhan by the Brajavasis. The Brajavasis are chanting so many verses in glorification of Govardhan. Because of that, all the loud musical instruments they are playing, instead of singing your glories, they are glorifying Giriraj. That is why your ears are hurting. And you will feel, as the Govardhan Puja goes on, you will feel as if somebody is pushing javelin, means spear, is shoving a spear, javelin, into your eardrums. That is how much pain you will feel. So Indra is shocked by hearing this accurate diagnosis by the Ashwini Kumars, because indeed, instead of hearing his own glorification, when he started hearing glorification of Krishna and Giriraj, he had become full of anger, filled with anger, because his pride was disturbed. So now, down below on Earth planet, all this beautiful Govardhan Puja was going on. And as the Brajvasis were offering with love all the heaps of rice with ghee, vegetables, sweets, sandesh, so many different preparations they were offering to Giriraj. Giriraj suddenly manifested a very, very beautiful four-armed form. Now, our acharyas explain that actually Krishna manifested this second form. So, Krishna was with the Brajvasis and then Krishna manifested a very effulgent form on top of Govardhan, which was four-armed, like a Narayan form. And it was Krishna's expansion and the Brajvasis thought that this is personified Giriraj. But actually, it was Krishna. And this huge personality on top of Giriraj, he expanded himself and he announced in a thundering voice that you have pleased me so much with your puja and your offerings that just see, I have myself appeared in this gigantic form to accept your offerings. And Krishna was pointing towards this divine form of Giriraj, you know, which was speaking four-armed form. And Krishna was saying, see, did I not tell you? Just see, did Indra ever come? See, repeatedly Krishna was referring to Indra just to deflate his ego, just to anger him, just to test him. He said, did Indra ever come? Never. Now just see, our Giriraj Baba has come and just see what he does now. And then Giriraj, in a voice rumbling like the sound of thunder clouds, replied, oh my little boy Kanha, I have come, I am the mountain, I have come to accept all your offerings. And then in front of everyone, Giriraj, he took all the offerings and he started eating. You know, heaps and heaps, and you know, it is said that 10 million pounds of cooked rice, vegetable preparations, Giriraj ate. 10 million pounds. He ate in front of everyone. He stretched out his hand and just like iron filings are attracted to a big magnet, all these bhoga offerings, they were flying into the divine mouth of Giriraj. He ate everything. Then he looked at the rivers and the lakes and the ponds and he drank all the water. And he was saying, bring me more. And the Brajvasis, whatever little food was left, they would come and offer everything until everything was empty. And Giriraj ate everything. And he was still not satisfied. He said, Aniyor, bring me more. And then finally, the Brajvasis, they took a tulsi leaf and they offered it to Giriraj. And Giriraj accepted that tulsi leaf and he was completely satisfied. And everybody was so happy to see that they had successfully satisfied Giriraj. They were so blissful. Seeing that Giriraj is satisfied, they were satisfied. And it is described that Giriraj was eating everything with his right hand. And with his left hand, he was wiggling his tip of his finger towards Indra in Swargalok. You know how we show Tenga dikhata na, so you show your thumb, like you tease somebody. So with the right hand, Giriraj was eating all the offering, and with his left hand, he was showing his thumb, wiggling his thumb towards Indra to irritate him. Just see, Krishna's sense of humor. But he was totally satisfied. And then Giriraj said, I am very satisfied with all of you. Now please offer me aarti. And then all the Brahmins, all the Brajvasis, with all, you know, wonderful paraphernalia, they started offering him ghee lamps and incense sticks and so many beautiful, you know, aarti, chamar and everything. They started offering nice elaborate aarti to Giriraj. And Giriraj was smiling and he was accepting the worship of all the Brajvasis. And the Brajvasis were so happy to see that Giriraj actually is not just a mountain, but he's a person. And then Krishna looked at all the Brajvasis smiling, very happy. And he said, now ask for benedictions. So all the Brajvasis say that, Nanda Maharaj, you ask for benedictions. Who are we? You know, you are our representative. You are the king. You are Brajendra. You ask benediction. So then Nanda Maharaj, with folded hands, he goes in front of Giriraj and he says, We don't want anything for ourselves. But oh Giriraj, you know what is in my heart. We simply pray that our Krishna and Balaram are always happy. That's all we Brajvasis ask. Please keep our Krishna and Balaram always happy. Just see, my dear friends, Nanda Maharaj could have asked for anything. Give us prosperity, give us rain, give us this, protect us from Indra, you know, give us a long life, give us prosperity, give us wealth, give us health. Nothing. The Brajvasis could have asked, but they said, we don't know what to ask. Our representative is as Nanda Baba, he is Vrajendra, he is our king, let him ask. And what does Nanda Maharaj ask on behalf of all the Brajvasis? Just keep Krishna and Balaram happy. Nothing for myself. Krishna and Balaram happy. And Giriraj loudly says, Tathastu, Let it be so. And then in everyone's full vision, suddenly Giriraj says that now you should all go home and you should enjoy the prasad that I have given. And Giriraj returns all the prasad that he had accepted. It comes back as beautiful, tasty, fragrant prasad. He says, now you all enjoy this prasad and be happy and go back to your homes. I just want to warn you that this Indra may give you some trouble, but don't fear. If he gives trouble, I will protect you. Saying this, Giriraj suddenly disappears. The personified form of Giriraj, which was Krishna's own expansion, he disappears. The Giriraj Devata disappeared. And then all the Brajvasis, they start jumping, you know, clapping their hands. They say, wow, thanks to Krishna, we had darshan of Giriraj Baba, Giriraj Devata. You know, we offered him everything and he accepted everything and he has promised to protect us. We are so happy, we are so happy. So then Krishna says, now let us feed all the Brahmins. And then all those yajnik Brahmins who wanted to reciprocate with Krishna, Krishna was reciprocating with them now by feeding them. So all the Brahmins were fed. And then Krishna says, now let us feed all the cows. And then they get beautiful green grass and they give all the cows beautiful grass, nice cold water to drink from the kundas of Vrindavan. And all the cows are allowed to feed their calves. So all the calves come, they start drinking milk from their mother cows. And all the cows are very happy. Even the bulls are fed. So the cows, the bulls and the calves, they are all very blissful. And then Krishna says, now let us feed prasad to all the Brajvasis, all the tribals, all the outcasts, dog eaters, dogs, animals, everyone. And then everyone, they honor the wonderful Giriraj Prasad, Mahaprasad now. And everybody is very happy. Then Krishna says, now let us decorate all the Matajis, all the Gopis should decorate themselves. All the men should wear nice turbans and let us circumambulate. Let us circumambulate Giriraj. And as they are circumambulating Giriraj, they are singing beautiful songs. One gopi asks a question and other gopi answers. So, for example, one gopi says, Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, that who ordered the worship of Giriraj Govardhan Hill? And other gopis in chorus, in unison, loud voice, they reply, Putanika sa nihita yena, Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Putanika sa nihita yena, the one who killed Putana witch, he ordered us to worship Giriraj. Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Trinavarta Tanu Dalanam Yena. Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill? Oh, the one who crushed the whirlwind Trinavart. Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Yamalarjuna Tarum Udakali Yena. One who uprooted the Yamalarjuna trees, he told us. Then, Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Vatsabakasura Hananam Yena. Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill? And everybody replied in chorus, the same person who killed Vatsasur and Bakasur. Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Vyoma Aghasur Maranam Yena. Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill? Oh, the one who brought about the death of Vyomasur and Aghasur. So in this way, Giri Pujayam Vihitam Kena, Kaliya Damanam Kalitam Yena. One who defeated Kaliya. So in this way, the one gopi would ask question and other gopis, millions of gopis in unison, they would reply. Just imagine the kirtan that was going on. So all the while circumambulating Giriraj, the Brajvasis were doing this blissful kirtan, Krishnot kirtan, kirtan of Krishna's glories. They were singing, and beautiful circumambulation happened, and they were joking and laughing. So the gopis were sitting in bullock carts, the gopas were walking, the cows were walking with their calves and bulls, and everybody was very, very happy. Nice musical instruments, nice kirtan, nice parikrama. Very, very blissful experience for everyone. Everybody was happy. Except Indradev. So Indradev, he sent his spies to Vraja to find out what is happening. And he first question, so when the spies come back, Indradev asks his first question. So, did the puja happen in Vrindavan or not? The spice says, yes, Indraji, the puja happened, and actually the puja was much more elaborate and opulent and festive than all the previous years. Oh, really? Huh, but somehow I didn't get any offerings. What happened? Indraji, actually, the puja happened, but you were not the enjoyer of this puja. They actually offered everything to a pile of rocks. His name is Govardhan. What? The Brajvasis, have they gone mad? Have they forgotten who the Maharaja is of all the devatas? Instead of worshipping the Maharaja of the devatas, these foolish village people who have lost their intelligence by living in the forest, they are worshipping a pile of rocks. Indrajit started laughing at the simplicity of all these so-called foolish Brajvasis. So he says, this really sets a very, very wrong example. Soon everybody will stop doing my puja. They will stop Indra puja and they will start worshipping rivers and mountains and trees. What nonsense is this? So the Brajvasis, so the spies say that actually this mountain devata, he loves them so much, he actually came and he ate everything. What? Indra says, what? The mountains are my enemies. Previously, these mountains used to fly, and with my vajra, my thunderbolt, I had chopped off all their wings, and they fell down. So mountains are inferior to me. How can this Brajvasis worship a mountain who is my enemy instead of worshiping me? And Indra becomes very, very angry. He says, this is so bad. So many generations have been worshiping me, and suddenly they stop. What wrong have I done? Are they so ungrateful? Don't they see that I have been regularly giving them rains because of which the grass is growing and their cows are surviving, and because of the cows they are surviving? This is nonsense. They have become proud. I will crush their pride. I will destroy this mountain with one thunderbolt. I will crush this mountain Govardhan into thin powder, and then I will flood the whole area. I will wash off this powder of Govardhan into the ocean, and along with that I will wash away all the Brajvasis into the ocean. Not a trace of Vrindavan will remain. I will destroy everything. And then I will see what happens to Nanda Maharaj. First I will kill all the Brajvasis, and I will make Nanda Maharaj see the death of all the Brajvasis, and then in the end I will kill Nanda Maharaj also. See, this is the effect of anger. In anger, we can do things which are not characteristic of us. Anger really makes us into a different person. And then Indra gives the order that release the Samvarta clouds. Now the Samvarta clouds are a very specific type of clouds which are called by Indra when the universe has to be destroyed. So the Samvarta clouds are very restless, very powerful and very naughty. So Indra ties him up and keeps him caged, like a caged animal. Because when the Samvarta cloud is released, he can cause so much destruction. So Indradev doesn't release him until the time of universal devastation arrives. So Indradev says that I am making an exception to my rule. Go and release the Samvarta cloud. Open up his chains and bring him here. So the servants of Indra, they go and they release Samvarta cloud, and they bring him in front of Indra. And Indra tells him that these Brajvasis have offended me. I have given them everything, but they have ignored me. They are such aparadhi. I give you the order. You, O Samvarta cloud, who has the ability to destroy the whole universe, I give you this order that go and destroy Vrindavan. Go and destroy Vrindavan. So all this is Samvarta clouds, they become very happy. They start marching towards Vrindavan. And soon in Vrindavan, everything becomes very dark. Everything becomes very dark. And even in the daytime, the Brajvasis are not able to see anything. So imagine if the sun gets completely covered with very, very dark, thick clouds, so much so that not a ray of sun can come. How dark it will become. Like an Amavasya night, it became in the daytime. So Brajvasis could not see. It is described that the poor calves could not see their mother cows. The gopi mothers could not see their babies. And the gopas who had taken the cows for grazing in the forest, and they were coming back seeing the thunder and clouds, they could not find their way because it became pitch dark. Just imagine. So then everybody started panicking. Some Brajvasis are saying, oh, why did we not worship Indradev? Now he has become angry. Just yesterday we did that puja and we are getting the result. Obviously Indradev is angry. Krishna gave us this new puja and now Indra is going to destroy everything. So people, they somehow tried to bring their cows into the barn under the shelter. They started telling all the kids, stop playing now, come on, get inside the house. It's going to rain, there's a terrible wind blowing. It suddenly becomes so cold. And then it started pouring. And it is described that the Samvarta clouds started throwing, shooting raindrops at Vrindavan. But these raindrops were not drops as we know. Each raindrop from the Samvarta cloud was like the trunk of a full-grown tree. Pillars of water were pouring down as if the floodgates of a huge river have been opened suddenly. There was flood everywhere and all the Brajvasis, they became helpless. They thought that now everything is going to be submerged in water, everything is going to be destroyed, we are all going to die. And they all went to Krishna for shelter. And they told Krishna that, oh Krishna, look at your cows, look at your calves, they are being tormented by this rain of Indra. And the bulls and the cows, they are standing over their calves to protect them from this heavy rain. But even they are being hit by this massive hailstorm rain and they are also crying. We are all crying, please, please protect us. We don't see any way of saving ourselves from this calamity. Please protect us. And Krishna immediately smiles and says, oh, don't worry. If Indra can send this hurricane, then our Giriraj will save us. Let's all go to Giriraj immediately. Giriraj has promised us he will save us. Don't worry. And then Krishna immediately tells everyone, let's go to Govardhan. And everybody follows Krishna. All the cows, calves, bulls, animals, gopas, gopis, everyone, they follow. And Krishna says, don't be afraid. This trouble that Indra is giving us is as insignificant as hunger can trouble a person who has just eaten prasad. I repeat, Krishna says, this trouble that Indra is giving us is as insignificant as hunger can trouble a person who has just eaten prasad to his full satisfaction. So just like when we have eaten to our full satisfaction, hunger doesn't trouble us. Similarly, Krishna says, once we take shelter of Giriraj, Indradev cannot trouble us. So Krishna just goes there and just like a child picks up a mushroom or an elephant picks up a clump of grass, Krishna picks up Giriraj and he holds Giriraj on top of his finger. And it is described when Krishna lifts Govardhan, the peaks on top of Govardhan, they go up into Swargalok. And Indra is able to see the beautiful gardens which are on the top of Giriraj. And Indra realizes that the gardens on top of Govardhan are much more beautiful than the gardens I have in Indralok. So this description is given. Somehow, mystically, Giriraj goes all the way to Indralok to show the beauty of Vrindavan. And then Krishna tells all the Brajvasis, then now come, everyone, come under Govardhan and don't worry about Indra. And as Krishna picks up Giriraj and all the Brajvasis take shelter under Govardhan, from the edges of Govardhan, lots of rocks and mud, it falls down and it creates an embankment, a periphery all around Govardhan so that the flood water cannot enter under Giriraj. And under Giriraj, Everything is so peaceful. It is dry. There is no rain. There are beautiful crystal clear water lakes under Govardhan. There are beautiful trees. There are fruits. Everything is so soothing. Everything is so comfortable. All the facilities are there, as if there is a village, a proper village under Govardhan. But all the Brajvasis, all the cows and calves, they cannot think of eating or drinking anything, because with their eyes, they are drinking the beauty of Krishna. The beauty of Krishna is sweeter than honey. Just imagine this beautiful 7-year-old Kanha, who is the life and soul of all the Brajvasis. He's standing right in the center with the tip of his left hand, the pinky finger of his left hand, he's lifting up Govardhan. He's standing in the threefold bending form. He's holding with his right hand a flute, which has got three holes, so he can play it with just one hand. And he's playing beautiful music on his flute. It is Krishna's love in his heart that is manifesting through the flute in the form of music. And it was entering the hearts of all the Brajvasis through their ears. So with their eyes, the Brajvasis were looking at the beautiful form of Krishna. With their ears, they were hearing the beautiful music being made by Krishna. With their mouths, they were glorifying Krishna. In this way, for 7 days and seven nights, in the valley under Govardhan, all the Brajvasis, all the cows, calves, bulls, peacocks, deer, all of them, monkeys, they were all blissful, completely unaware of what was happening outside, all the chaos, mayhem that was being created outside. Now there are very beautiful, funny conversations between Yashoda Mai and Madhu Mangal and Gopas, but unfortunately we don't have time to discuss them because it's already almost just 2 minutes left. So I will we'll fast forward. So 7 days and seven nights, Giriraj protects all the Brajvasis. They have very intimate pastimes under Govardhan. And finally what happens is, Kamsa Maharaj, he sends a message to Indra. Seeing that Indra has been attacking Brajvasis and Krishna for 7 days and seven nights, Kamsa becomes very happy. So he sends a Yaksha, whose name is Drumila. He sends Drumila Yaksha to Indradev and tells Indradev that we are very, very happy with what you are doing in Vrindavan. These Vrajvasis should not have disrespected you like the way they did. They deserve this punishment from you. Please kill them, kill everyone, and don't worry about the Indra Yajna which they did not perform, because in Mathura, I, Kamsa Maharaj, is going to perform Indra Yajna for you, because I am so happy with you. So don't worry that Nanda Maharaj did not perform an Indra Yajna for you. I will perform an Indra Yajna for you. From today, we are best friends. When Indradev gets this message from Kamsa, he comes to his senses. He says, what is this? I have become so fallen that my friends, I am treating them like enemies to such an extent that now my enemies want to become my friends. Nanda Maharaj is such a sadhu and I am treating him like my enemy, so much so that this evil, wicked Kamsa is making an offer of friendship to me. That means I must be really fallen. So then Indra comes to his senses. And then again we'll cut short. There is a lot of beautiful nectar, but we'll have to go forward. In last one sentence I'll finish. And then finally Indra goes to Brihaspati, and Brihaspati chastises him. You are so proud, so foolish. Now you cannot approach Krishna directly. You have to go to Brahmaji. So then Indra and Brihaspati, they go to Brahmaji. Brahmaji also chastises. He says, I have also made this mistake in the past and I have burnt my hands, I have burnt my fingers. You did the same mistake, oh foolish Indra. Now you cannot approach him, you have to approach him through his devotee. Go to Surbhi Lok, take the mother of all the cows, Surbhi, with you, and only she can plead for you. And Indradev goes with Surbhi, and Surbhi thanks Krishna, that Krishna, thank you for protecting my progeny, my babies, all the cows are my children. Thank you for protecting them from this cruel Indra. Indra is repentant and he wants to beg forgiveness from you. If you give permission, he will come and beg forgiveness. Then Krishna, with his gestures, he indicates that it's okay for Indra to come and apologize. And Indra comes and he simply starts crying. He falls down at the lotus feet of Kanha, 7-year-old Krishna, and the helmet of Indra, it touches the lotus feet of Krishna. And then Indra cannot get up, cannot speak, cannot say, I'm sorry. All he does is cry. And the tears from the eyes of Indra, they go and they start wetting the lotus feet of Krishna. And then Indra somehow musters up courage and says, out of my ignorance, I have created such a disturbance. I was angry. I was angry and proud. I was proud of my power and angry because the sacrifice was stopped. So then Krishna says, sacrifice was stopped? Indra Yajna was stopped? If demigods like you are worshipped simply because you can enjoy the sacrifice, then why not worship the drunkards, the alcoholics? Because they are also enjoying. The alcoholics are intoxicated with their alcohol, and you, Indra, you are intoxicated with your pride. So what is the difference between you and those drunkards? Indra says, it is very befitting that you punish me. You did the right thing. My vision was infected with false pride. Thank you for destroying my pride. Thank you for purifying me. Krishna says, I did not purify you. I did not destroy your pride. I simply protected my own Brajvasis. So Krishna completely neglected Indra, completely chastised him. And then Indra kept on crying, kept on weeping and weeping and weeping. And finally, Surabhi went in the air, in the sky, and from top, she started pouring the milk from her udder on Krishna, started doing Abhishek. And then she told Indra, you also do the same. And then Airavat quickly goes and brings water from Akash Ganga, the celestial Ganga, so that Indra can do Abhishek of Krishna. And Indra hastily starts doing Abhishek. And then Shivji comes, Brahmaji comes, all the demigods, goddesses come. They all do Abhishek of Krishna. And then we'll conclude with this. Then Indra Dev says that Indra means the controller. Indra means the king. So, I am the controller of the clouds. I send the rain clouds. So I am the Indra of the clouds. But today I declare that Krishna, Brajendra Nandan Krishna, is the Indra of the cows. It was to protect his cows that he lifted up Govardhan, and it was by the mercy of cow Surabhi Devi that I was able to beg forgiveness from Krishna, because cows are very dear to Krishna. So I declare that Krishna is the Indra of the cows. Therefore his name is Govinda. So I give him the name Govinda. He will be known as Govinda, the Indra of the cows, and the Indra of the cows has defeated the Indra of the clouds. So Krishna is so merciful. He purifies us. When he sees pride in the hearts of his devotees, he cannot tolerate it. When he sees lust in our hearts, he cannot tolerate it. And he will move mountains. Literally, he will pick up, lift mountains to protect us from our anarthas. This is our darling. So today, let us worship Giriraj, who is Haridasa Varya, who is the topmost of devotees, to please bestow purification on us, so that we become purified of our lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and false ego, and we get Krishna Prem. Veena bhavet kim Haridasa Varya, pada shrayam bhaktiratah shrayami, yam eva saprema nijesha yoshri, Govardhano me dishatam abhishtam. These are the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That no one can attain Krishna Prem without the mercy and blessings of the best devotee of Lord Hari, Govardhan. So let us pray to Govardhan for Krishna Prem. I thank all of you for your patient listening. I apologize for going over time. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for engulfing us with so much mercy. Such beautiful narration. It was very, very nice. All the details, everything was so captivating. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for such a beautiful illustration. There's so many things, tiny details you went through. which I haven't heard, like the special cloud by Indra and all those kind of things. So thank you so much for such an excellent class. Hare Krishna.
Dasospi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for such a wonderful class. Prabhuji, I have a question over here, maybe not directly related, but when Indra was so puffed up and he was so bad towards the Brajvasis, Lord Krishna immediately he helped them, right? And Indra is known as like Govinda, he is going to take care of the cows. So is it that that era or that time which was there, it was such that Lord immediately acted, and now that there are so many wrong things happening with the cow, there are so many killings going on, then why is it that things are not happening, or why is it that the cows are not getting protected? Some way or the other. Like, I always have this query in my mind, so I thought of asking this on this time.
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, when Krishna intervenes and punishes us, that is Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna does not intervene and allows us to go on with our aparad and our sins, that means we are so fallen that Krishna is not giving us his mercy. For example, when Gopal Chapal committed an aparad against Srivas Thakur, immediately he got leprosy. But when we commit Vaishnava aparad, we don't get leprosy. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful to Gopal Chapal. But we are so fallen that we are not even getting the mercy of Patita Pavan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we see that in Kali Yuga, so many bad things are happening, but nobody is getting a reaction, that simply means that Krishna is, we are so fallen that Krishna is neglecting us. Krishna is neglecting us. So that should make us even more humbler. Indra was very fortunate that Krishna personally intervened to break the mountain of his pride with the mountain Giriraj. But we are so unfortunate that we carry on with our proud activities, egoistic activities, lusty activities, activities propelled by anger, but still we get no reaction. It simply means that Krishna is neglecting us. It should make us humble that Krishna has forsaken me. Now what? Therefore we have to pray for purification. Purification is painful. Purification is painful. But still we say that we should pray for purification. What that means is, let the calamities come. Let the reaction come. I will suffer, but at least I will get purified. At least I will get purified. That is the... It's very hard, Mataji. Actually, once one disciple of Prabhupada, he takes yatras, and he had taken a yatra to South India. And in the middle of that yatra, he said, let us pray, all of us. Krishna, please purify my existence. He made everybody repeat, Krishna, please purify my existence. And there were some devotees, they said, I cannot pray like that. Because purification means very painful. I will be exposed. I will have to go through so much humiliation, so much pain, so much heartache, so much physical trouble, emotional trouble, mental trouble. I don't want it. So, it requires courage to pray for purification. So when we are seeing that, you know, all these cows are being slaughtered and nothing is happening, definitely they will get reaction. But they are not getting reaction directly from Krishna, which means they are unfortunate. To get reaction directly from Krishna means Krishna is really merciful. So that is one perspective on this, Mataji. Does it help?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. That it really helps. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for very, very wonderful class. Please forgive me for lots of disturbance. I have one question here. As you mentioned in the end of your lecture that Govardhan is a topmost devotee of the Lord, but we say Govardhan is non-different from Krishna. So how to understand this?
Hare Krishna, Ishwari Kumari Mataji, my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. So good to hear from you. I hope you are doing well in India. So this question is it requires some explanation. So please bear with me. It will take me 5 minutes to explain, but this is very important for us to understand. So excellent question. So our acharyas explain that Govardhan is all three. Govardhan is non-different from Krishna because Govardhan, when Srimati Radharani requested Krishna that please manifest an area where we can have wonderful pastimes, so then from the heart of Krishna, Govardhan came. Krishna himself manifested Govardhan. So Govardhan is non-different from Krishna. And it is mentioned that Radharani said, Yadi rase prasannosi mama premna jagatpate tada aham prarthanam tvam tu karomi manasi sthitam. That if you are pleased with my love in this one day after Ras Leela, Radharani told Krishna that if you are pleased with this Ras dance, then I have one desire in my heart which I would like to place before you. Krishna says, whatever you want, you ask, I will fulfill it. And then Radharani says, Vrindavane Divya Nikunja Parshve Krishna Tate Rasa Rasaya Yogyam Rahasthalam Tvam Kurutan Manosham Manorathoyam Mama Deva Deva. That, O Lord of the Lords, my desire is that in the splendid forest of Vrindavan near Yamuna, you create a secluded place where we can perform our Ras Leela in a very beautiful place. And this is from Garga Samhita. And then Krishna says, Tathastu. And it is said that Tadaiva Krishna Hridayad Gopi Vihasa Paschata Nirgatam Sajalam Tejo Nuragasyeva Chankuram. That at that time, when Krishna looked at Radharani, a beautiful glowing love came out from his heart like a seed, and then he continued to grow as Giriraj Govardhan. So Govardhan is definitely Krishna. There is no doubt about it. The whole mood of Krishna accepting all the Ani or accepting all the Annakut, that only Krishna can do. So Govardhan is Krishna. Absolutely, there is no doubt. That's why we worship Govardhan with a peacock feather. We offer a flute to Govardhan. We offer tulsi leaves. If Govardhan is not Krishna, why would he accept tulsi leaves? So Govardhan is Krishna. He is non-different from Krishna. He came from Krishna. Just like Balramji comes from Krishna, Vishnu comes from Krishna, Ramchandra comes from Krishna. So similarly, Govardhan came from Krishna. So Govardhan is Krishna. Now, we know that all the dham shakti, comes from Balram. So Govardhan is Balram also. Because the whole dham is a manifestation of Balramji. The dham shakti is Balram. So Nityananda Ram or Balaram, they manifest, expand themselves into the dham. So the whole Vrindavan dham is a manifestation of Balramji, which includes Govardhan. So Govardhan is also Balram. That's why he is called Giriraj Baba. That he is like a father figure. How Balramji protects Krishna, like an older brother. Similarly, Giriraj Baba, he protects. So he is Balram. And then Radharani points towards Giriraj in Srimad Bhagavatam and says that he is Haridasa Varya. He is the best devotee of Lord Hari. So then our acharyas explain that Radharani will never point at a gopa or a male person and say that this is the best devotee of Krishna. Radharani is too shy to do that. So the fact that Radharani is pointing her finger at Govardhan and saying that this is the best devotee of Krishna, he is Haridasa Varya, that means Govardhan is an expansion of Radharani. So Govardhan is all three. Govardhan is Krishna, Govardhan is Balram, and Govardhan is Radharani. Therefore, some devotees worship Girirani. There are Giriraj Shilas and there are Girirani Shilas. So, Govardhan is also Radharani. So how to reconcile all this? All three are right. It just depends on what is the prominent thought process you have. For example, Krishna's internal potency has got three aspects, right? Ladini, Sandhini, and Samvit, right? So Samvit potency is presided over by Krishna himself. Sandhini potency is presided over by Balram. And Ladini potency is presided over by Srimati Radharani. So what is our vichar, what is our thought process? That way we can look at Govardhan. So if somebody has Samvit Pradhan vichar, then that person will look at Govardhan as Krishna. If somebody has Sandhini Pradhan vichar, he will look at Govardhan as Balram. And if somebody has Ladini Pradhan vichar, he will look at Govardhan as Srimati Radharani. So Sandhini is the existential potency of Krishna. It maintains the spiritual world. So it is a Dham Shakti, it is Balram. Samvit is the all-knowing potency, it is Krishna. And Ladini is the pleasure potency, it is Srimati Radharani. So Samvit Pradhan Vichar, Giriraj is Krishna. Sandhini Pradhan Vichar, Govardhan is Balram. And Ladini Pradhan Vichar, Govardhan is Srimati Radharani. Same thing with Guru Tattva. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sakshadhari Pena Samasta Shastra. That Guru is Sakshadhari. Guru is non-different from Krishna. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaur Govind Maharaj, they would say that Guru is a maid servant of Radharani. Guru is a maid servant of Radharani. That's why Nikunjayo Nurati Keli Siddhai Yayali Bhir Yukti Rapekshaniya Tatradi Dakshad Ati Vallabhasya Vande Guru Shri Charan Aravindam. If Guru is not a maid servant of Radharani, how can Guru in the Nikunjas of Vrindavan assist Radha and Rani in their confidential Madhurya pastimes? So Guru is a Manjari. Guru is a Kinkari. Guru is a maid servant of Srimati Radharani. So this is one way of thinking. Another way of thinking is, Adi Guru is Balram, so Guru is a representative of Adi Guru, Balram or Nityananda Ram. So Guru is non-different from Balram. Guru is representative of Nityananda Prabhu. Guru is representative of Balram. So who is right? Is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur right? Is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaur Govind Maharaj right? Or is Prabhupada right? Because Prabhupada said that Guru is a representative of Balram. Because Balram is the Adi Guru. So Prabhupada is saying Guru is a representative of Balram. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, and Gaur Govind Maharaj is saying that Guru is maid servant of Srimati Radharani. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying Guru is Krishna, Sakshadhari. So who is right? All three are right. It just depends on what your vision is. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he says Sakshadhari, he has got Samvit Pradhan Vichar. When Srila Prabhupada says that Guru is representative of Adi Guru Balram, Prabhupada is Sandhini Pradhan Vichar. And when Gaur Govind Maharaj says that Guru is a maid servant of Srimati Radharani, he has Ladini Pradhan Vichar. So all three vichars are right. All three are true. They're just different angles of looking at the same truth. So Govardhan is all three. He is Krishna, he is Balram, and he is Radharani. It depends on how you look at it. But it is better to worship Govardhan, whatever you feel inspired ultimately. So I will not say how I worship, but yeah, so all three are right, Mataji. Does this help?
Yeah, simply beautiful answer, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so very much. It was just a wonderful, very nice. And it was very nice to hear your lecture after a long time.
That's awesome.
So, Prabhuji, are you currently in India or in Atlanta?
Atlanta, Mataji, Atlanta.
Oh, you I will update
you. Sure. We may come this weekend, but I'll update you. I'll message you.
Sure.
This weekend.
Sure, yeah. Sure, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. So thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. I think we should end the call. It is very late, 8:51. So wish you all a very happy Annakut Festival, Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.